That was what I was talking about, wasn't it?
Teaching on restitution. And I looked down at my notes, and as I looked down at my notes in front of me, I got a strange feeling that in my spirit that something was happening over here on this side of the room. I didn't see anything taking place, you know, but I got this funny feeling that something was taking place. And I looked up, and this girl was sort of slowly going down over her desk. And I said her name, and she sort of looked up at me, and I said, "Can you speak to me?" And she couldn't speak, and I thought, So she eventually slipped off of her chair and onto the floor and went into convulsions, and I thought, it looks like epilepsy, but it certainly didn't feel spiritually like epilepsy. It didn't feel like that. You know, I don't think if it had been a physical, I believe there is a physical epilepsy because the Bible says epileptics, demoniacs, right next to each other in the verse that we read in Matthew. Epileptics, demoniacs, just like that. So I believe there is a physical epilepsy, but I don't think I would have gotten that response spiritually if it had been just a physical thing. So she was on the floor in the convulsions, and so I called for the leaders of the SOE. There wasn't a leader in at that moment. And they came down, and I said, "Would you please take her out?" And so they took her out, and they prayed with her. And I talked with the leader later, and I said, "What is her problem?" And he said, "She's got a very deep-seated bitterness she will not repent of, and so she isn't getting delivered because of that." And they knew that it wasn't epilepsy, although it looked like that, but that it was really a demonic thing. We'll see later, we'll look very closely at the case of the little boy who looked like he had epilepsy, but Jesus said he had a deaf and dumb spirit. Okay, and he cast out the spirit. People who have real epilepsy, that's a physical thing, we still don't know what that is either, but that have a physical thing need to be healed, and those who have demonic problems that look like epilepsy need to have demons cast out of them. So, I don't always jump on a person who looks like they're having an epileptic seizure and start trying to cast demons out of them. That's not, you know, you have to have discernment there, because there are those two things. Let's talk about what demons are. We will carry on here. We won't get done. Demons are spiritual beings. Now, I don't expect you to get this, so don't freak out. Demons are spiritual beings. It says that in Matthew 8:16, Matthew 10:1, Matthew 12:43-45, Mark 1:23, 26, and 27, Mark 3, verse 11, Mark 5, verse 2, 8, and 13, chapter 6, verse 7, chapter 7, verse 25, chapter 9, verse 17, 20, and 25. In the book of Luke, it says that in chapter 4, verse 33 and 36, chapter 6, verse 18, 7, 21, 8, 2, and 29, 9, 39, 42, 10, 20, 11, 24, and 26, 13, and 11. It says in Acts, chapter 5, and verse 16, chapter 8, and verse 7, 16, 16, 8, 9, and verse 18, chapter 19, verse 12, 13, 15, and 16, 1 Corinthians 12, 10, 2 Corinthians 11, 4, 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 3, 1 John 4, 1 through 6, Revelation 16, 3 and 4, and chapter 18 and verse 2. Okay, it says in the New Testament that they are spiritual beings. Okay? They are spirits. Demons are spiritual beings. They are spirits. And I am going to leave a copy of my notes, which I have a mimeographed copy. I'm going to leave it with, I'll leave it with Matt here. I'll leave a copy so that you can get all of those references if you want, or you can get this mimeographed off, or whatever you like. All right. Okay. And I'm going to let Matt take care of it, and it should always come back to him after you use it, right? Okay. So other people can get it, or they can photocopy it, or whatever. Or would you write my name on the top, so if it gets photocopied, it'll be on there? Okay. Ebda, what demons are? They are spiritual beings. Yes, we've got that established. The second thing is they possess personality. They possess personality. They can speak, and I've got another big long list of places where demons speak. But you think, what kinds of things do demons say? What? They proclaim who Jesus was. We know who you are, the Christ, the Holy One of God. What kind of things did they say? Yeah. Have you come to torment us before the time? Yeah. Don't send us away into the abyss. Send us out into the pigs. They talk a lot, and that's one of the things you need to be careful of. Since they can talk, when you're in a time of deliverance, they will talk if you let them. And I suggest, this is what I suggest, that you do not let them talk. Not necessary. The important thing is that they go out. That's the important thing, not that they talk. You don't need, God has told you in the Bible, all you need to know, you don't need any information from them. Okay? So if they start talking, you tell them to be quiet and come out. I don't want to hear you. You just be quiet and come out of this person. You don't need to have any information that a demon would give you. They'll try to give you information and slip it in on the side anyway. I can only think of one time that I received information, and it was useful, but it wasn't useful because the demon said it. The demon was just trying to stop me from ministering deliverance through it, say. A demon told me one time that the demon didn't have to come out because the guy had never repented of adultery he committed with his neighbor. So you better be ready to repent of everything when you get delivered too, because the demons will sometimes tell on you. Sometimes they'll tell on you. Okay, So I got rid of the demon's influence, and I said, Mr. So-and-so, did you ever commit adultery? I had to find out if this was a lie or not, see? It could have been just a straight lie. I said, did you ever commit adultery with one of your neighbors? And he went, yes. I said, have you ever repented of that? No. I said, well, I'd like you to repent of that. He repented of it, and we cast demon out. Now, that's the only time I've ever gotten something useful out of a demon. Most of the time, you can tell when they say something like that it's a straight lie. You see? Because they're busy accusing people left, right, and center. At that point, I don't know why I felt that it wasn't a lie, but I felt that I should do something about it. And it was right. Okay? But normally, you just don't need to have them talk. They don't need it. Jesus did not need the testimony of demons for people to know who he was. Okay? And he certainly didn't need it. They possess intellect. Well, I'll give you want some references of where they speak. You can get them from the paper later if you want, but it depends if you want them or not. Huh? Just a few? Okay. Matthew 8, 29 and 31. Mark 1, 24 and 34. Luke 4, 34 and 41. Acts 16, verse 17. Okay, there's four. See, what I tried to do on every point here was I listed every place in the New Testament that says what my heading says. They are spiritual beings. I listed every place in the New Testament. They possess personality. They speak. I listed every place where it mentions that they spoke. They possess intellect. They have intelligence. Okay? Might be a little more, we know that demons speak, but the idea that they have intellect may be a little different for us. Mark 1, 24. Mark 1, 24 says, saying, this is the demon was saying, what do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. They have intellect. Verse 34. And he healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was. Okay? Chapter 3 and verse 11. And whenever the unclean spirits beheld him, they would fall down before him and cry out, saying, you are the Son of God. They knew who he was. It's another one. How about Acts 19:15? Acts 19:15, the demon and the evil spirit answered and said to them, I recognize Jesus and I know about Paul, but who are you? Okay. They didn't know Jesus, and that's why they got clobbered. Okay, so they possess intellect. They also possess a will. Matthew 12, 44 and 45, very interesting verse. They possess a will. Matthew 12, 44 and 45 says, and then it, the demon, says, I will return to my house from which I came, and when it comes, it finds it unoccupied, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and takes along with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there, and the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. That is the way it will also be with this evil generation. Notice he says, I will go back to the house that I came out of. And then he goes out and takes along with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, which indicates that there is a level of wickedness amongst the demons. Some are more wicked than others. Some are more, they're moral beings, you see, and some are more involved in sin than others, evidently. It's just like some people are more wicked than others. They live out their selfishness more fully. It appears to be the same way with demons. Some are more wicked, and that may be why some of them are harder to deal with. No, but some of them are more wicked than others, okay? You'll see also in the case histories where Jesus dealt with demons that they obeyed Jesus. In Luke 10, 17 and 20, they were subject to authority. Revelation 16, verses 13 and 14 also says that they have a will. They have emotions. You see what I'm doing here? Intellect, will, emotions, showing that they have that they are personalities. They have personality. They possess emotions. Matthew 8:29 says they experience torment. Matthew 8:29 says they experience torment. Mark 5 and verse 7 says the same thing. James 2 and verse 19 says they tremble, and experience fear. 2:19. James 2:19. I may have said 17. They tremble or experience fear. Another point that shows they have personality is that they are self-aware. They are self-aware. They know who they are as specific entities separate from the things around them. Now, do you know why I'm giving you all this? Because there are so many people today who say, well, yes, Jesus dealt with demons, but really what that was the psychological quirks that people had, you see? And these things aren't real things that Jesus dealt with. They aren't real persons or personalities. They were just the evil concepts or ideas or the false ideas people had. And Jesus was trying to deal with those psychological imbalances that were taking place in those people. And so people will try to put that over on you and you go, look, psychological imbalances don't talk all on their own. Nor do they have their own set of knowledge, nor do they have their own emotions. And they're not self-aware. Mark 5, 9, and 12. By the way, when you get a person who has split personality schizophrenia, they respond completely differently than a person who has a demon. A person that has split personality schizophrenia, every personality that manifests itself will usually speak of itself as I and not even acknowledge the others, that they're there. Everyone thinks that it's the one, you see? Whereas when you talk with a demon that's in a person, they will say he. They'll very frequently refer to the person in which they're dwelling as a separate person. See? I've heard demons scream, I'm going to kill him, I'm going to take him to hell with me. See? That kind of thing. And they refer to the being in which they're dwelling. Unger, in his book on demons in the world, I think it's called Demons in the World Today by Unger, has a section on a whole section on how to distinguish between split personality schizophrenia and people who have demons. Okay, what were we on? They're self-aware. Mark 5, verses 9 and 12. Mark 5, 9 and 12. I'm in the wrong book. And he was asking him, what is your name? And he said to him, my name is Legion, for we are many. Okay? They know who they are. They know what they are. Verse 12. And they entreated him, saying, send us into the swine so that we may enter them. They knew what pigs were. They knew what they were. They knew that they were not in the pigs. They knew that they could go into the pigs. They asked Jesus if they, as demons, could go into the pigs. You see the point? They are self-aware. They know that they knew they were in a man. They knew that there were pigs out there. They knew who Jesus was. They knew the difference. They could talk to him. They recognized who he was and that they were different. So they are self-aware. And then we read already in Matthew 12, 44 and 45, the demon says, talks about himself. I will go back to the house that I have come out of. Okay. Speaks of himself and recognizes a difference between himself and the house that he has come out of. Now I'll give you one of my little stories. I give lots of scriptures, bang, 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 and I have to break it up with some stories if you get bored. Okay. But see, the reason I give lots of scriptures is because demons only listen to scripture. Okay? You're not going to get a whole lot of speculation in this one like you did in the last one. They only listen to scripture. Okay. Now, I was on the street in Seattle one time, and in the street in Seattle, when I left, there was a very interesting phenomenon going on. Witchcraft was beginning to be a really big thing, and there were 12, 13 groups of witches. And they would walk around in the street in pairs, just like we would go out witnessing. They would go around in pairs witnessing about the enemy. And they would win converts. And they walk up to you and say, "Want to see a miracle?" They did things like that. See? And they worked miracles on the street and got people involved in witchcraft because of it. Well, so we were quite used to running into people like this. And I walked up to this guy on the street one night. He had this long black cloak, big floppy black hat. And his girlfriend was with him. She also had a long black cloak on. And I walked up to this guy. He was a little bit taller than I am, so I had to look up at him. I said, "Hi, my name is Mike." He looked down at me and he said, "My name is Legion." And I went, "Oh." And he said, "You know what that means, don't you?" And I said, "Yes, I know what that means. You know, between 2,000 and 6,000 foot soldiers in the Roman army." He said, "You know what that means, don't you?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Because you're a Christian, aren't you?" "Yeah." No, he said, "Because you read the Bible, don't you?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Because you're a Christian, aren't you?" And I said, "Yeah." And then we went on from there. He said, "This is Mahila." That was his girlfriend's name. They were sleeping under a bridge someplace, and they were Satan worshippers. Quite an interesting character. And, I had a young brother along with me. This was, he was going, "What's this?" And he was standing next to me, and I was trying to talk to Legion and Mahila. And then in the middle of that, it was a very noisy street in downtown Seattle, and I couldn't hear the brother start speaking in tongues, but I knew he did it. Because they were looking at me, and their heads in stereo went to the other guy. I was still talking, and both of their heads just went. And then Mahila turned to Legion and she said, "What is that, Legion? What's he doing?" And Legion said, "It's called speaking in tongues. I'll tell you about it later." Does the devil know what's going on? Mm-hmm. Yes. Another Satan worshiper say that one time. We were around the fountain in the the center that was left over from the World's Fair in 62, the Seattle Center, whatever. Anyway, I've been away for so long, I don't remember what it is. And we were around the fountain there, witnessing one night, and this girl, 16-year-old girl, who had been delivered from a number of demons and been involved in witchcraft and stuff, was talking to this guy who was a Satan worshiper. And she grabbed this guy. He was so much bigger than her, I couldn't believe it, but she grabbed this guy. She was just that kind of a girl, you know. She grabs him by the shoulders, and she starts speaking in tongues because she was having trouble with his, he couldn't understand. His eyes were all glassed over and everything. So she said, "I'm going to take care of this man." She grabs this guy and starts speaking in tongues, and the guy's very calm, you know. And he has this apprentice with him, and the apprentice says, "What's that?" And he says, "Speaking in tongues." And he said the same thing. "I'll tell you about it later, explain it later." And he didn't realize how much he changed, though, when she spoke in tongues, because the whole conversation changed. One of the first things he said, she walked up to him and asked him if he knew he was going to go to heaven. And he said, "Oh, I wouldn't want to go to heaven." And she said, "Why not?" And he said, "Because there's no atmosphere there." No atmosphere. Satan is the prince of the power of the air, you see. Anyway, so after she prayed for him, she had a good time talking to him. And then when he walked away, we had a good time praying for her. She walked over to the edge of the fountain and she sat down. She went, "Ah!" Because it was quite a spiritual battle. Anyway, but there was some effect anyway. So, another point, they not only possess personality, but they also possess great strength. Great strength. You read stories of Matthew and Mark and Luke about the demons would take over this man and he would rip chains apart. It became so fierce that no one could pass by that way. Okay? They possess great strength. Acts 19:16 says that one man jumped on seven men and they fled, wounded and naked. from the house. One man overcame them. Okay? You'll see that sometimes in deliverance. That, I had a guitar once. This guitar was sitting. I came in one time and I said, somebody else had been ministering deliverance. I came in one time and said, what happened to my guitar? There's a big crack all the way down the side of my guitar. What happened to my guitar? Oh, well, we were ministering deliverance and this girl happened to hit it. And I said, she hit it? And he said, yeah, and it went flying all the way across the room and hit the wall. She's just a little tiny girl and she went like that and the guitar went zing against the wall. Okay, and you see that happen sometimes with a little tiny girl will throw men around the room, you know, four, five, six men. And she just throw them around the room. Okay, it's not the little girl, see, it's the demons. And where do demons come from? The Bible doesn't tell us. Okay? That's all I can say. It doesn't tell us. Now, I want to talk about something that's very important. It has to do with our attitude. It's building up to. There are two major points here that have to do with our attitude. And first, we're going to look at some definitions in the Bible. We want to try to get a scriptural definition of what it means for a person to have a demon operating in their life. And there are four phrases. Well, one, two, three, four. Technically, five phrases that are used. Some of them are only used once, but five phrases that are used, one of which is most common, for the idea that a person has a demon. The first word, and it's used the most often in the New Testament, is the word, in Greek, it's the word diamonidzomai, or we would say demonized. Or, if you wanted to use an old form, you could say bedemoned. Okay? Demonized or demoned or something like that. The idea is that there is a demon there, and that's all it means. There is a demon there. Now, the problem that we have is that a lot of us and a lot of modern translations still follow the King James Version using the idea of demon possession. Now, in Elizabethan English, which is what, or Elizabethan, however you want to say it, English, when they use the idea of possession, and a person said, I am possessed of, it means I have. That's all it means. You can read in Shakespeare, you'll see that in one of his plays, it says, I was reading one of his plays one day, and it said, the man was possessed of a house. And I thought, that means the man had a house. It doesn't mean the house had the man. You see? But see, the idea of possession has come to mean ownership, but the other way around. And so when the King James Version said that a man was demon-possessed, it meant the man had the demon, not the demon had the man. You get that? The words demon-possessed in the King James Version meant the man had a demon, which is also another phrase that's used in the New Testament. Okay? Demonized, mentioned in Matthew 4:24. Almost always translated demon-possessed. Sometimes translated demoniac, demonized person. Okay, Matthew 4:24, Matthew 8:16, verse 28, verse 33, Matthew 9:32, 12:22, 15:22, Mark 1:32, Mark 5, verses 15, 16, and 18, and Luke 8:36. Those are the places where the word in the Greek, diamonidzomai, is used, referring to people having a demon. The idea of ownership or absolute control is not there in the Greek word. Ownership or absolute, no demon can own you. It doesn't work like that. Okay, now, so what do you say demons do then? They influence you. They can exert extreme influence over people to the point where they can block out their consciousness and things like that. But as far as ownership, the idea of possession, it means the person has a demon. Not mean that the demon owns the person. Now, the problem with this word is it's become a very emotionally charged phrase. The person is, I think that person's demon-possessed. See? It becomes a really heavy emotional thing rather than communicating what the Greek intended to communicate, which was there was a demon there and it needed to be dealt with. See? So I think it would be good for us either to redefine demon possession so that we understand exactly what that meant, according to the Elizabethan English it's written in, or just not use the word at all. I don't. I say a person was demonized, or a person has a spirit. That's the phrase I usually use. I think this person may have a spirit, or this person may have a demon. Because it doesn't have the heavy emotional thing of demon-possessed. You know, you get the E.P. creepies, you know, when somebody says something like that. And we don't need that. And also, when you say a person is demon-possessed, it sort of it gives you the idea that the most important thing there is the demon rather than the person. You see? And we don't want to communicate things like that because the most important thing is the person. Okay? And they need to be delivered. So what we want to do is promote love towards other people. And so I think it'd be better just to drop the idea of demon-possessed, that word anyway, and use the phrase demonized or some of the other phrases that the New Testament uses, like this one. Having a spirit or a demon. I use that quite frequently. I think this person has a demon. Having a spirit or demon. You want to know the places it's used? Okay, Mark 3:11, Mark 7:25, and 9:17. Luke 4:33, 8:27, and 13:11. The book of Acts, 8:7, 16:16, and 19:13. Chapter and verse respectively. Okay? Having a spirit or a demon. It's another phrase that's used in the New Testament. The person has a spirit. Another interesting phrase. It's interesting because the New Testament doesn't seem to make much of whether the demon is over, under, around, or through, or in, or out of, or whatever. Doesn't seem to make much difference. In Mark 1 and verse 23, and Mark 5 and verse 2, Mark 1 verse 23, and Mark chapter 5 and verse 2, in the Greek it says that the man was in an unclean spirit. How about that? The man was in an unclean spirit, and then it says that Jesus cast the demon out of the man. Okay. So the idea of diamonidzomai, of demonized, is the idea that... Did you need something? Or you just put your arm up? Okay. Is the idea that there is a demon there. And that the New Testament didn't seem to be too picky about whether it was outside, inside, or whatever. They just dealt with it because it needed to be dealt with. A demon was bothering a person, so they took care of it. Being in an unclean spirit. I think this person is in an unclean spirit. Shall we cast the spirit out of them? Interesting, huh? And then another phrase is, in whom the evil spirit was. Uses the verb to be. In whom the evil spirit was. Acts 19:16. It also says they dwell or live in the person. Matthew 12:45. And Luke 11:26. So the idea of being in the person. In whom the evil spirit was, they dwell in the person. Matthew 12:45 and Luke 11:26. Okay? Now here's another, that's one major point, is the definition of having a spirit or having a demon. Another major point I want to make is that people with spirits in the Bible are called sick people who need to be healed. People with spirits are sick people who need to be healed. This will also help us with our attitude, because we have a tendency to get the eepy creepies when we think of somebody has a demon. And in the New Testament, they weren't treated that way. You know? How would you like to be known as the way Mary Magdalene was? Which Mary was that? Oh, the one that had seven demons? Oh. See? Which Mike was that? Oh, he was the one that had 17 demons cast out of him. Oh, that one, yeah. Okay. And they didn't seem to make as big a deal out of it as we do. Okay, Matthew 4, I'm going to read all of these. Matthew 4:23 and 24. Which we've already read, but I'll read again. Matthew 4, 23 and 24. And Jesus was going about in all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. And the news about him went out into all Syria, and they brought to him all who were ill, taken with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he did what to them? He healed them. He healed demoniacs. So having a demon cast out of you is a kind of healing that takes place. Matthew 12, 22. And there was brought to him a demon-possessed man. I'm not going to read that way anymore, okay? There was brought to him a demonized man who was blind and dumb. And he healed him so that the dumb man spoke and saw. But the man was demonized, so what did the healing consist of? Casting the demon out. Okay, Luke 6, verses 17 through 19. Luke 6:17-19. I might not read all of this. Yeah, well, maybe. And he descended with them and stood on a level place, and there was a great multitude of his disciples and a great throng of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were being cured. Healed. And all the multitude were trying to touch him, for power was coming from him and healing them all. Those who were troubled with unclean spirits were being cured. Okay. That's interesting. It says troubled with unclean spirits. I need to look in the Greek on that one. I haven't yet. Where were we? Luke 6, huh? Luke 7, 21 through 23. And at that very time, he cured many people of diseases and afflictions and the evil spirits. See that? At that very time, he cured or healed many people of diseases and afflictions and the evil spirits. Luke 8, 2. And also some women followed him who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses. They had been healed of evil spirits. Luke 8:36, concerning the demoniac of Gadara. And those who had seen it reported to them how the man who was demonized had been cured or made well. Okay. That was the one where they went out into the pigs. It says he was healed or cured. Okay, Acts 5 and verse 16. Acts 5:16. And also the people from the cities in the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming together, bringing people who were sick or afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all being healed. Sick or afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all being healed. And Acts 19, verses 11 and 12. And God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that handkerchiefs or aprons were even carried from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them and the evil spirits went out. And those who had diseases and those who had evil spirits were called the sick. Okay? So when we look at a person who has demons, I think it's good for us to look at them as a sick person who needs to be healed. And so I had this experience one time where I was working in the kitchen, the kitchen in Germany, and at the YWAM base, and there was a person who had a cold on one side of me, and there was a person who had demons and needed to be delivered on the other side of me, and we were all standing there chopping something or other. And it sort of struck me funny that the person on one side of me needed to be healed, and the person on the other side of me needed to be healed too. Yeah? But it was just they needed to be healed in two different ways of two different kinds of things. See? And we can come to that in our attitude where we love people and we don't get so excited about the idea that somebody has a demon. They're simply a sick person who needs to be healed.